Today's reading is from Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 24. Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 24. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me." And he said to them, "When I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything?" They said, "Nothing." He said to them, "But now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack. And let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors, for what is written about me has its fulfillment." And they said, "Look, Lord, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough." And he came and went out, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." In yesterday's reading, Jesus and his disciples were observing the Passover, and he instituted the Lord's Supper, explaining the representation of the bread to his body and the cup to his blood. And he also told about the betrayal that was going to come, and they were wondering, you know, who that might come from. And so now when we pick it up today, they're disputing about who was going to be regarded as the greatest. In other words, who was going to have the higher position. They're still thinking in the way that earthly organizations are done, that, you know, you've got the top person in charge, and then you've got their right-hand man, and then under the right-hand man, you might have a division again into, say, three people, and then those three people are over, say, four people. You know how it works whenever you do something along those lines. That's the way companies are usually set up. So that's what they're thinking. They're thinking, you know, there's going to be this hierarchy. But instead, Jesus says, look, that's the way the Gentiles do it, or we might say that's the way the world does it. But it shouldn't be that way with you. Let you serve one another. That's what he's telling them. Let the greatest among you become as the youngest and the leader as one who serves. And he uses himself as an example for this. He says that he is the one who serves. And then verse 28, you are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assigned you as my Father assigned to me a kingdom, and sitting on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So they are going to get some special significance, but it's not going to be what they're thinking about. It's not going to be this hierarchy type of a situation. So one of the thoughts that goes through my head at this moment is how different was this Passover than any other one that Jesus had observed with his disciples. His ministry was approximately 3 years, so possibly this is the third time that he's observed the Passover along with his disciples. How is it different than the others? Because right now, this is the last night before the crucifixion of Jesus. And he's aware of what's about to happen. And it seems like, And I'm making a presumption here, but it seems like he's really trying to cram a lot of last-minute things into this Passover. Now, Jesus is always teaching, so I don't think that the other Passovers were moments in which they just sat around and did nothing. But I think that Jesus definitely has on his mind not only what's going to happen to him, but what's going to happen to his disciples at this point. So he begins to correct these ideas about, you know, this hierarchy or this jockeying for some position. He warns Peter about the denial. You know, Peter says, I'll go with you to prison and to death. But when it came right down to it, that's not what Peter did. Peter followed from a distance and then ended up denying Jesus three times. But there's something else that Luke shares here. And he says to Peter that Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. So remember when the disciples were plucking the grain off of the plants as they were walking and they would rub it in their hands in order to break the outer part? You know, that was kind of a sifting process to get rid of the stuff you don't want and get to what you really could eat or what you wanted. So that's the idea. Satan wanted to sift him like wheat. And he says, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. So not only was Peter going to deny Jesus, but he was then going to repent. And then he was going to become an encourager. I think that's exactly what we see from Peter. That transformation from the day that Peter denies Jesus to the point in which you see him writing his epistles, you see a different person. Not in terms of a different personality, but you see the maturity and you see the growth in his faith that not only is he an apostle, he becomes an elder in the church, and he is very much an encouragement to other people. So even though we might give Peter a really hard time about those denials, we need to remember that Jesus says that he was going to strengthen his brothers, and I think that's exactly what he did. There's also another theme in this passage that I want to point out, and that's prayer. Prayer at a moment of crisis. So Jesus gives thanks, this was in our previous reading, for the emblems, the cup, the bread, and that they were partaking of during the Passover. And then when he talks to Peter, he says, I have prayed for you. That's verse 32. Then, when he gives instruction at the garden in verse 40 and 46, he says, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And in verse 44, it says that being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And we know that he prayed three times. So there is a thread within this that points out that prayer is essential, and it's not something we should be overlooking. It was essential for the Son of God. How much more essential would it be for us? And it's very important that we pray not only for ourselves, but for others, and not just in the moments of crisis, but in thanksgiving as well. It's too easy to become so distracted that we don't pray. And that can happen from day-to-day things, or it can happen from the hectic activity during a moment of crisis. Maybe something bad has happened. Do you take a moment to pray before you rush out? Let's say a family member calls and they've been in a bad accident. They're on the way to the hospital and you're running out the door to go meet them at the hospital. Well, do you take a moment before you run out the door and pray? That's essential that we react in those situations with prayer. If we really want to be steadfast when we encounter trials of various kinds, we really must be a praying people. And that's part of what it means to be God's people. And so we need to realize that lesson that Jesus is teaching us within this passage. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.